right. Well, good morning, everybody. How are you doing? I got to tell you, going on vacation was so much fun. It was so much fun to be able to go on vacation, just to be able to rest and relax and enjoy. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Dwayne for doing a great job while I was away, and Pastor Adam. And I'm just grateful to be back. I am looking forward to camping next week with some of you. It's going to be amazing. How many ready for some flies and fishing and like eating together? And just, it's going to be a great time. And I want you to know that part of it is going to be a great time just for celebration and connecting, not only with one another, but also connecting with God. And so we're believing this is going to be a great time, that God's going to build some stuff in our hearts and just bless our relationships. It's going to be an amazing weekend, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 24. As we get ready to begin, we are continuing our series, A Way Forward. And we've been looking at the Proverbs, and I love the Proverbs. The Proverbs are filled with pithy sayings that help God's people make better decisions. How many here need to make better decisions at times? I don't know about you, but that's just my life still. And, and part of it is, as we make these decisions, it helps us positively impact the future. And the way that the Proverbs presents information to us is it presents this way of wisdom as a road, as a way to journey by which when we take that road, we will find the path to flourishing, we will find the path to life. And so we've talked about a whole bunch of different things, and this morning we're going to talk about proper ordering. Now, just so you know, this is not a message about Amazon or DoorDash, because I know some of you, you're pretty good at your ordering and all that fun stuff. But we're going to be talking about how do we order our lives. Have you ever had those moments where you get the cart before the horse? Where sometimes you don't get the pieces in the proper places at the proper time? So while I was on vacation, I had one of those moments. And so the way my morning often goes, it looks sort of like this. After I get up, I go downstairs to the kitchen. I get the coffee ready. You put the water in, put the coffee in, hit start. And then what I do is I go and I let the animals out, and so I let the dog out to go to the bathroom, and then I go to the chickens, and I let the chickens out, and then I come back, and then we feed the animals. There's feeding the cat, and then there's feeding the dog, and then I go in and I get my cup of coffee, because how many know coffee makes life better? Can I get a witness on this one? How many of you are better people because of coffee? Yes, I know. There we go. We'll all have to repent in a little bit, but that's okay. And I get my coffee. So that's my general routine. Well, on vacation, I did that whole thing, and then I came back to the kitchen only to find out that I had not placed the pot underneath the coffee maker. And so it was kind enough in all that time while I was doing all these happy little things. The water was coming above the basket. It was going everywhere with coffee grounds, and it was a little bit of a mess. Now, I think that when we don't get things properly sequenced and in the proper places at the proper times, that sometimes we have to deal with a little bit of mess. Have you ever been in that place where all of a sudden you're like going, oh my goodness, and so like for me, I had to like pull the refrigerator out, and I had to clean it all up before Rachel saw what I did. And I did confess to her, and I had to throw it all out and start all over. But the good news is I didn't do it two times in a row. But you know, we have this idea of getting things in the proper order. That if we can, that then actually things go well when they're not in the proper order. It's amazing how we add a certain level of complexity and chaos to our lives. And so as we think about Proverbs, as we think about wisdom, the big idea I want us to think about this morning is this, that wisdom helps us properly order our lives today so we may experience a better tomorrow. That when we do this, it helps us properly orient our lives today so that we can experience a better tomorrow. Now, why is it that things get out of order in our life? Why is it that sometimes we don't line things up I know there's a number of reasons. I want to note five of them real quickly. Sometimes things get out of order just because we don't know any better. Have you ever gotten something out of order just because you were winging it? So I grew up with the statement, fake it till you make it. And sometimes you're just trying to learn on the go. You just don't know, and you're trying to figure it out. You know, sort of like parenting. You remember your first kid? You're just trying to figure it out. And, you know, that's why we had four, because by the time we got to number four, we thought we figured it out, but still haven't got it. But you know, there's an aspect of sometimes we don't get the proper ordering because we just don't know. It's ignorance. We live and learn. Other times, we get things out of order because there's an excitement that moves us. Like, we're so excited about the end product that we don't pay attention to the process. And because of that, sometimes we end up skipping steps only to find out that we have to stop and go back and make things right. Sometimes we get things out of order because we get distracted. We just don't have attention to the right kind of things. Other times, we get things out of order in our lives because of apathy. We just don't care about the process or the product. We're just kind of like, meh. You ever have those moments where your doesn't care just doesn't care? And you're just like, I just don't care about it, right? And you just go with it. Yet sometimes, even in that place, we can end up dealing with a whole lot of mess. Other times, I think that we get things out of order because sometimes we think we know best how to make things happen. And sometimes our arrogance gets us in trouble. Proverbs will note this in Proverbs 16:25, that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death. And so there's this thing that we struggle with. How do we get things in the proper order? And the verse that I want to kind of look at in Proverbs chapter 24, kind of as our jumping off point, is Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. And this is what it says. Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. I want you to note this because I think this is an interesting proverb. Again, it's a pithy saying. It's something that causes us to stop and reflect and go, huh, what's this wisdom about? But it says, put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready, and after that, build your house. Get yourself in order. There's an order to it. Your outdoor work, your fields ready, then build your house. Now, I don't know about you, but intuitively in coming to this, I'd be like, well, you got to build your house. Yeah, the Proverbs is saying, listen, there's some things that you need to make sure that are in place. Now, when it talks about building a house, it could be talking about a number of different things. It could be talking about building the structure of your house. Like, before you build the structure of your house, make sure you got your outdoor work done, make sure you got your fields ready, and then build the house. Other times, it can be describing, some people think it's talking about building a family. That if you're going to start a family, you got to make sure you got some certain pieces in place before you just like kind of just say, hey, let's just get into this thing. Or other people look at it, that this idea of building your house is a metaphor for saying how you build your life. That in building your life, you've got to make sure you get the right things in order. Now, I think that this proverb is highlighting three important things about ordering that we need to understand. The first thing is that when it comes to building things, when it comes to developing our lives, finding a road to flourishing or a path to flourishing, there are some things that are foundational that we need to make sure are in place. That sequence matters. Now, one of the things I like to do is I like to build. So I used to do construction, and so I used to build houses, and every once in a while I still play with building stuff. And one of the things that I know is this, is that if you don't deal with the foundation and do the foundation right, you can build something really spectacular above ground. But if the foundation isn't right, in just a little bit of time, it will become evident you didn't spend the time, the resource, or the attention on the things that needed to be dealt with. You know, Jesus had a whole parable about this, where he talked about what is it that you're building your life on, and he talks about there's some people who build their life on the rock, other people build their life on the sand, and when the storms of life come, one is standing and one falls flat. And the thing that was essential is the foundation. And I think what this proverb is telling us is that you and I, we need to be intentional about the foundations of our life, those pillar things upon which to build. And for us as followers of Jesus, that is God's word. We need God's word to be the foundation for our lives. The thing I know about doing the foundation work is it's not really glitzy and glamorous. A lot of the work that you do on the foundation stuff in construction, you end up burying or hiding. You don't look at it, you don't see it. And because people don't look at it and notice and see it, they sometimes think, well, this isn't important. Other people aren't oohing and aahing about this stuff. And so we have to be very intentional about the foundational things. The other thing that I think this proverb is highlighting, not only that some things are foundational, but some things require time. That we live in this culture and we live in this era where everything is about now. And we live by it. And again, when it comes to things like, you know, Amazon, you know, we like to go on, we like to order. And in some cities now, you can order it and buy it and go pick it up right away. Same day. You know, it used to be that with Prime, you were guaranteed inside 2 days. But it doesn't always work like that now. But we like to get our stuff now. And because of it, you know, there's this part of us that sometimes anything that takes time, we're just like not always sure about. We're not always sure about it. Like even watching TV, how many of you like watching TV on demand? Like if you're watching your shows, you're like going, you know what, I'd rather watch it on Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, Hulu, whatever it is. And you can just like, you can go and just do it. Do you remember the dark ages? When you wanted to watch your show and you had to like block your calendar and then you had to like watch it with commercials. How do you remember the dark days with commercials? We on vacation, we spent a couple nights at a hotel and so, you know, we were watching TV and so we were watching some movie. And every 5 to 10 minutes, it was interrupted with commercials, and it was just terrible, right? And that's how we feel. We like, no, if I want it, I want it now. I want it in my time, and we want to fit it, and we want it now. And so sometimes as we approach life, we think, well, if we want it, we just have to order it, and then it will get here in a short amount of time, and everything will be good. Yet the truth is that sometimes there's a process of time that we need to understand has to transpire before the thing happens. And we see this in this proverb. Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. The picture is an agricultural setting. That this idea that, you know what, you have to make sure that you're preparing for the future, that you're putting the crops in the ground, like you're putting the seed in the ground. Because if you don't put the seed in the ground, you're not going to get a harvest in the future. Because some of these things take time. You see, sometimes we live under a tyranny of wants. That there's something that our hearts want so bad that we want it now, that we don't invest and take time into the future. Yet what this proverb challenges us with is that sometimes we have to discomfort ourselves now in order for us to experience the comfort we desire later. Don't build your house, plant your fields. You see, when we begin to sow in our lives, when we do this, what we're doing is we actually have to learn the discipline of putting proper things in motion. So the Bible talks about this whole idea of sowing and reaping. And I love what Paul says, because Paul takes this idea and he talks about it in Galatians chapter 6, and he says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Like understand that our lives, we put things in the ground, and then in time, all of a sudden stuff comes up, and we have to learn to be okay with time. The challenge is sometimes we want the thing now, that we hijack the time process. Yet if we're going to experience the path of flourishing, we need to understand the importance of time. This is why Paul will go on to say, just after talking about God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows, he will go on to say, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The third thing I just want to note about this passage is not only that there are some things that are foundational and some things require time, but thirdly, some things are subject to seasons. How many know that different seasons demand different strategies? That we don't go through, we live our course of life. There are changes that take place, and we find ourselves in different places and find ourselves in different seasons, and different seasons demand different strategies. And part of it is being wise enough to discern the times that we're in. To discern that, you know what, there are seasons that change in our lives, and have we done the work in preparation for the future that is needed? It would be written about the sons of Issachar, the men of Issachar, in 1 Chronicles 12:32, that they were men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. That, you know what, for you and for me, we need to understand the season that we are a part of. And this is why I love this proverb, because it says, put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. There's a proper order to things. And this requires wisdom. Now, earlier in the chapter, in chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, it says this, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Well, we love this verse. My wife, she did cross-stitching once, and she cross-stitched this little thing. She did it once. It was a beautiful thing. It was like this big, and I think it took her like 3 or 4 years of marriage to do it. It was an amazing thing. And then she gave it away. She's amazing. But it said this, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled. Now, I want to note three words in this. By wisdom, everybody say wisdom. Okay, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding, everybody say understanding. It is established. And through knowledge, everybody say knowledge. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Building your house. Now I want you to, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19, you actually find these three words in the same order. Instead of building houses, it's about building creation. And so this is what it says in Proverbs 3, 19 through 20. It says, by wisdom, God laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. Now, I think this is really interesting, because what you have is you have that which we're doing in trying to build our lives, trying to build our houses, is to be reflective of how God built creation. This is what the Proverbs is saying, stop. How did God, or what was God doing in building something? Because how he did it in creation is how we are to do it for our own homes, for our own lives. How do we build? And I think this is just a great thing, because as we go back to Genesis chapter 1:1-2, it says this, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. Now it's really interesting as you look at how is it that God built it, and what he began with. And in a sense, he's beginning with something that approaches a chaotic state. It's something that is formless. It has no order. It's something that is empty, where there's no sense or no fullness, and there is darkness. When there's darkness, there's no capacity to see color, depth, or beauty. So this is kind of chaotic state, and so what God does is he begins to create. And just like we're to build our lives, and what you do is you read through Genesis chapter 1, and you read Genesis chapter 2, you see that there's an ordering that God's doing. He's beginning prepare, and he's beginning to bring things together. Where there's formlessness, he creates form, he creates order. Where there's emptiness, he brings filling. Where there is darkness, he brings light. And as God began to bring creation into being, the proverb says, listen, when you're trying to build your life, do it in the same way God did. Use the wisdom. And I think it's interesting because there's a sense that God is saying, listen, in building your stuff, there's a form that you need to bring to it. How many know when there is no form, chaos kind of abounds? Like when there's no structure, have you ever been in those environments where all of a sudden it's like in a chaotic event or a chaotic moment, you're just like going, okay, who's in charge here? What's supposed to happen? How are we supposed to navigate through this? What are we supposed to do? You know that total unsettling feeling when there's no form, no shape. But it's not only the formlessness, it's the sense of emptiness. That the chaotic state, that there's this sense that something's missing. It's interesting that I think that Jesus says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life, life to the full. Like the enemy is at work in your life to try and empty things from you. Like he's trying to take things and steal things and destroy things and create a void in you. Yet Jesus has come that we might have life, life to the full. He longs to bring fullness because if you're going to experience flourishing, not only do you need order, but you need fullness. Not only is there darkness, but there's a need for light. That if we're going to have the chaotic, there's a sense of not knowing, that there's that cloudiness, that uncertainty. And I think it's interesting because in our lives, we experience chaotic states at different points. Sometimes chaos shows up in a marriage. Sometimes it turns out with kids, raising kids. Sometimes it happens at work. Sometimes you're watching the country or the community that you're a part of, and you're like going, this is just pure chaos, and you're just not sure what to do. And I think the wisdom that we're called to understand there's a proper ordering, there's something that we're to do. I also think it's interesting that even though there's this, in a sense, chaotic state at the beginning, it says that the Spirit of God is hovering above the waters. That the Spirit of God is right there over the chaotic state, and he's ready and wanting and willing to begin to bring order and fullness and light in order that there might be flourishing. And to me, that's such an incredible hope, because for your life and mine, in those moments where we wrestle with the chaos, that the Spirit of God is present, longing to work not only in us but through us to begin to shape the worlds that we're a part of. You see, we need to be a people that allow his wisdom to guide us, to help bring order, to help bring fullness, and to help bring light. This is why I say that wisdom helps us properly order our lives so that we may experience a better tomorrow. Yet as we read through, that there's sometimes that in the midst of chaotic states, in the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of the turmoil that we find ourselves a part of, sometimes we're just overwhelmed by it. And sometimes we can feel helpless in it. You ever been in a situation where you felt helpless and you couldn't change anything? And all of a sudden you're just like, I'm just going to sit back. I'm done. I don't know what to do next. And we sometimes find ourselves there. And sometimes we can get to the place where we're just like, you know what, I'm just not even going to deal with the messes anymore. Just let messes be. It's interesting because Proverbs actually has a character that shows up throughout the book, and he'll show up in chapter 24. Again, you'll find him at the beginning of the book, the middle of the book, you'll find him at the end of the book. He doesn't have a name, but he has a disposition that is noted. And that is the sluggard. The sluggard, we'll find, it has a variety of different proverbs about him. And really, the sluggard is one who says, you know what? Why even try shaping the world I'm a part of? This is what it says. I'll read a few verses about it. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says this: sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look, but they find nothing. Like they're not doing what's needed today, and because of it, they're actually robbing themselves in the future because they're not attending to the things they need to attend to today. They're not mindful of seasons. Proverbs 22:13, I love this one. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside and I'll be killed in the public square. There's a lion outside. And what the sluggard does is they allow the fears to keep them from acting. That they allow the concerns, the imagined things to keep them from even going outside. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we allow our fears to limit our activity? Like we're afraid of dealing with certain things. We're afraid that, oh my goodness, if we confront the chaos, it's just going to get messier. And so sometimes what we do is instead of bringing order to our world, we just kind of just live with it. And the reason is because sometimes we're so afraid. I want you to know that we have a God that wants to walk with us. It's interesting that in the Bible, I think it's 365 times it says this, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That sometimes in our lives we allow the fears that we have to influence how we live, how we order our lives. Proverbs 26:15 tells us that the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. And sometimes what the sluggard does, which I think is interesting, is they see themselves as the wise ones. They rationalize decisions that they made. Have you ever noticed that we have the great capacity to rationalize what we want and to call it wise? This is why I think it's so important that we have an outside perspective. This is why I think it's so important that we get heaven's perspective on our situations and our issues and the things. That's why I think we need to be people who are wrestling with God's word, because if we're not wrestling with God's word, what we end up doing is we end up considering our own ways as the wise ways. And they may not be the things that lead us to flourishing. The last thing I will note about the sluggard from Proverbs, it says this in Proverbs 15:13. It says, the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns. So we have a nice piece of property. We have 11 and a half acres. And so one of the things, and on our 11 and a half acres, we have lots of trees and woods. Do you know what one of the earliest plants that starts growing in the spring is? And one that it just grows all the time through the summer. And it grows late into the fall. It's my thorns. The thorn bushes. The wild, they're not even wild roses. They don't even make pretty flowers. They just dangle and grow. So we cut paths around our property just because you got property. Well, let's walk around it. Let's have it. And the path around my property, you know what I continually have to deal with? Them stupid thorns. Even this last week while we were on vacation, just taking it easy, I'd walk around and I'd try and walk the path and I'm like bobbing and weaving because those suckers, they grab me all the time. And they're a little painful. They're irritating. I have some scratches from the thorns, which just happens because you're in life. I think it's interesting that the path of the sluggard is blocked with thorns. That these thorns things keep growing. And I don't know if you know this, but thorns have an interesting place in the Bible. So actually in Genesis chapter 3, as a part of the curse that's placed upon humanity, you know what they have to deal with? Thorns and thistles. So I go out in my woods, I'm like, oh, good Lord, I got to deal with the thorns still. I'm like, Adam, Eve, why'd you eat the fruit? Like, just should have left it alone. Look what I'm dealing with today because of this. But they grow all the time, and they cause incredible pain. In our lives, no matter who we are, where we're at, where we journey, we always have to deal with the thorns. And the thorns cause incredible pain, and because of it, sometimes it's a nuisance to deal with, and so we just don't deal with them. And what ends up happening is our way gets blocked. And because we haven't properly ordered our lives, and because we don't always deal with the things that need to be dealt with, what ends up happening is as we try and journey, we find ourselves blocked and stopped. And even when we try to get through things, all of a sudden there's incredible pain that we can experience. You see, thorns are a product of inattention and inactivity. It's letting just the sinful things happen and living in a sinful world. But the other thing that I think is interesting about thorns is that not only do we find them in Genesis chapter 3, we actually find that when Jesus, after he is beaten and flogged, you know what they do to him? They fashion a crown of thorns and they place it upon him. And part of it is this amazing picture that what Jesus does is he carries for us the pain of the thorns. That he experienced the full weight of the sin and the mess of what humanity is, and he bore the weight on the cross in order that you and I might know flourishing, that we might know freedom. You see, he bears the penalty in our place so that we can discover new life. And I think this is important because as we think about this idea of ordering our lives, there's some things that I think we need to do. Number one, I think we need to have faith for a better tomorrow. Like, not just a faith about a better tomorrow in the sense that I believe tomorrow is going to be better. I think we need to have faith, not just because of his grace, but an expectation of a better tomorrow through his grace. Listen, God wants to do something in us and through us. And that because of his grace, we can actually properly orient our lives. Again, the Spirit of God hovers above the chaos because he wants to bring about the conditions sufficient for flourishing for you, for me, for our families, for our children, for our communities, for our world. God, his Spirit hovers above the chaos, ready to bring life. And Jesus bore the penalty so that you and I can know his grace. And part of this means that this expectation, not only believing for a better tomorrow because of his grace, but living for a better tomorrow through his grace, where we begin to align our lives with his word. You see, as we begin to align our lives with God's word, we find there's an ordering, there's a filling, there's an enlightening that takes place that allows us to experience far more than we deserve. Secondly, if we're going to properly order our lives, we need to have a willingness to learn and to do something different. You see, part of this idea of wisdom is that, you know what, there is something that you and I need to learn. That when we're confronted with the opportunities in our lives, or we experience those chaotic events, it's an opportunity for us to discover what it is that God has for us. And we need to learn from God's word, and we need to learn from godly people. And we need to put it into practice. Many people I know lots of stuff about the Bible. Some of them have sat in church for years. And they know truths, and they know God's purposes, and they know different things, yet they're not always experiencing the transformation God wants to bring because they know it, but they're not living it. It's not enough just to know wisdom. You have to live wisely. And sometimes that means that we have to do stuff different. And there's a word that the church uses that we all have to wrestle with, and that word is repentance, because what repentance is, it's a change of heart and mind that results in a change of direction. That sometimes we need to say, God, I need to change. Now, I don't know about you, but I love for God to change things without my help. You know what I mean? Like, God, I'm having this issue over here. God, would you make it right for me? And how many are grateful when God just miraculously shows up and makes it right for you? And we go, that's a miracle. It's a miracle. And we're all excited. And miracles are beautiful because they're moments where God steps in and sovereignly acts and does something different than what is expected. The reason it's a miracle is because it's not the usual way God works. The usual way God works is not without us. It's with us. It's with a partnership with Him. It's about doing stuff, and that's why we need to do different. I think if we're going to properly order our lives, we need to have faith for a better tomorrow. We need a willingness to learn and to do something different. But not only that, we also have to deal with the thorns, and we have to confront lions. The question I want to ask you is, what are the areas of your life that you have not been giving proper attention to? Where are you dealing with thorns and thistles? Where are those areas where your path keeps getting blocked, and every time you try and go down that path, all of a sudden there's a pain that arises? And sometimes what happens is we allow the pain to keep us from progressing. Yet God knows if we're going to experience the path to flourishing, we have to deal with the thorns. Sometimes in our lives, we neglect the difficult things. We neglect the hurtful things. And because of it, our way is impeded. Yet we have to be reminded that Jesus on Calvary bore the penalty for our sins, that he himself experienced the pain of the thorns in order that you and I might find victory through them. Part of the culture that we're in, we try to avoid pain like the plague. If it hurts, if it creates dissonance or discomfort, we're often done with it. Sometimes in relationship, we say there's too much hurt, there's too much difference, dissonance, we're done with the relationship. Happens with churches, happens with lots of different things. Yet I'm convinced that God says, listen, even though there may be pain, these thorns that come across that are just a natural part of living in a fallen world, that I will give you grace to get through it. And what we have to do is we have to deal with the thorns. We deal with them at the foot of the cross. We allow the Spirit of God, who's hovering even over the chaos, to begin to bring life. Not only do we need to deal with the thorns, we also have to confront the lions. You see, sometimes we're allowing our fears to keep us from actually dealing with it, dealing with issues. That sometimes we allow our fear of, boy, if I do this, what's going to happen? And there's a lion outside and I'm going to die. Yet Jesus is with us to be our comfort and our hope. And I think that if we're going to properly orient our lives, if we're going to properly order our lives, then what you and I need to do is we actually have to deal with thorns and confront lions. But we don't do it on our own. We do it with Him. You see, wisdom helps us properly order our lives today so we may experience a better tomorrow. I don't know about you, but my hope is to experience the flourishing that God has promised. to know his grace, his love, his kindness. And again, that doesn't mean we don't deal with thorns and thistles. That's a part of this world. But to know a grace beyond our hurts, our pains, our fears. To allow God to work in and amidst the chaos of that we find ourselves in, that's just a part of this life, recognizing the Spirit of God is present even with us over these, longing to do something and for us to say, okay, God, I'm yielding my heart to you. God, I need you. You see, he longs to direct us into his truth, into his best, through his word, which is light for our soul. I love what it says in Psalm 119, that his word is a lamp to our feet, it's a light to our path. He allows us through his word to discover his best. You see, wisdom helps us properly order our lives today so we may experience a better tomorrow. May we allow God to do in us what it is he longs to do. May we be wise and properly order our lives, making sure we're getting the right things done at the right time so that we can get to the right place that God longs for us to be. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you for your mercy. And God, in the midst of the chaos, I thank you that you long to bring life. Lord Jesus, we need you so much. We need your help. Because God, we live in a world that's filled with thorns. It's filled with fears. And God, we've allowed them to keep us from dealing with things in our lives that need to be dealt with. Yet, Lord, you promised to help order our lives through your word, through your spirit, through your people, in order that we might know the life that you've called us to. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you bore upon your body every pain, every hurt, every sin, in order to give us the power and the opportunity to know fullness of life. And so, God, we lean into you. God, we need you to help order our lives for your glory. Just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many would simply say, you know what, there are some areas in my life that are pretty chaotic and I need God's grace to meet me. Maybe you're dealing with some thorns and thistles. Maybe there's some fears. And you're just like, Jesus, I need your help. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray with you. See those hands. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Lord Jesus, you see every hand. You see every heart. And God, I pray even in this moment that, Lord, they would be aware of your nearness, your grace, your love. God, would you help? God, would you bring healing? Would you bring life? Lord, I thank you that you love us and that you walk with us. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.